Good morning. And how are you?
Blessed.
Today, there was so much I could preach on. I was going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and I didn't know. I want to talk about, you know, you find out whether you're good and bad by what you say. Don't judge a person till they speak. That'd have been a good one. Or don't judge people at all because you have your own wooden beam. That would have been a good one. But the Lord hit me with the second one, so you're going to get the second reading, not the second one I just said. But anyway, when you get to the second reading today, it talks about death. And death, where is your victory? And it's important that we do this as we enter into Lent on Wednesday and focus on the reality of dying to ourselves and living for God and living for others and what God is calling us to do. And here it talks about, you know, we're afraid of it. And Paul says, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? And then he says, the sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, so if you do things your way, is what it comes down to, it's sin and it's going to kill you. We know that from the very beginning when Adam and Eve did things their way, sin came into the world and it killed them. But this is the remedy for it, Jesus. And then it says, therefore, because of this sin, my beloved brothers and sisters, be firm, steadfast, always devoted to what? The work of the Lord, knowing that the Lord in the labor, you labor in the Lord is not in vain. So I want to go through with us again to prepare ourselves for this Lenten season. I just came from a mission, you know, all week in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, packed every night, wonderful people, wonderful pastor, wonderful assistant there. The people were, you know, it took me a while to get them to start smiling and laughing at me, but they finally did. Even I was very, very hard on them, but they were such one of the most generous parishes. The collection for the four nights was $35,000. Wasn't that pretty good? Yeah, they're great, generous people. That would take us about 4 weeks of collections here, but still. These people are just, whoa. And I really was challenging them about what to do for Lent. And I really challenged them about, because most people, and again, I've dealt with you this throughout 17 years. Most people do what they always do for Lent, correct? Nobody here because you know better. But people that might be listening to me, it's always the same. I always do the same thing, Father. Don't bother me. I give up my chocolate every year, or I give up my Coca-Cola every year. I know, because we all know it, because you're a martyr and you tell us every other day. Oh, what I gave up for Lent. You know, I gave up chocolate. We all know you gave up chocolate. Thank you. Or I gave up dessert. Oh, Jesus died for you and you gave up dessert from him. Wow, what a sacrifice you and I make. And so what happens is we keep doing things our way every year. This is what I do. Well, your pastor's here to tell you to stop it. Aren't you glad? You gotta ask God what he wants you to do, because if you do your own will, even if it's giving up your chocolate, it could still kill you, because it's your what you want to do. And Lent is exactly the opposite of that. It's to die to what you want and to do what God wants. Lent should not keep you focused on yourself. Lent should keep you focused on God and others. So if the practices you do make you a martyr and keep you focused on yourself, and you tell everybody about it, then Lent is a waste of time for you. In fact, it's the opposite of what it needs to do. So the church tells us clearly the work of God all the days of our life, but especially at Lent. And Lent's the time where we start these practices so that they can take hold of us and bring us closer to God and closer to others, because that's what living the life is about. Being, does this practice bring me closer to God, and does it bring me closer to others? Does it make me more loving, or does it keep me focused on self? So the three things that we're called to focus on in doing the work of God for Lent are the what? Prayer, fasting, almsgiving. So, what I want to tell you is that you got to do one of each of those, right? Yes, because that's going to make you grow closer to God and closer to others. So, you already gave up. Father, you have 3 days to change your mind. Aren't you excited? So, in these 3 days, I want you to be praying. How does God want you to pray? How does God want you to fast? How does God want you to do almsgiving? So, when it comes to prayer, doing something you're not doing now, doing something that'll stretch you, doing something that'll help you to grow in love with Jesus. Again, what I'd encourage you to do these next days is put a piece of sheet of paper together, put it to top, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, all the ideas, and ask the Lord to reveal something to you. And put all the ways you can be praying. Do not choose more than one on each category, because then it'll make you a martyr. I want you to put all the things, though, that the Lord brings to your heart, or you can bring to your heart, that's okay. So under prayer, it could be Divine Mercy Chaplet every day, rosary every day, reading the Bible every day, spending time in silence every day, going to daily mass, whatever it is, and you put all those on one sheet, on one under one column, prayer. Fasting. Fasting, I believe, is the thing that opens the door to all the prayers that we want more than anything else. In my own life, fasting has become the most important reality of me on how I pray, because it takes it to the next level. And it's amazing what fasting does. So how does God want you to fast? Again, it doesn't have to be a physical fast. I eat one meal a day for over a year now, most days. Not all days, but most days. And so when I'm sitting here in prayer in the morning, Lord, who do you want me to fast for today? Or, and it's, you know, usually for something, can be a person I don't like, a person who hates me, a person who needs, or sick that needs help. So every day it's for a different reality. So there's that spiritual reality. But also, it helps physically. It helps my body physically to do those things. So how is God calling you to fast? Again, fasting should never keep you focused on self. You know, so when you're, if you give up like fasting all day instead of like, oh, I'm hungry, it's like, thank you, Lord, because help, let this help this person better. Thank you, Lord, so that this person can find healing. Thank you, Lord, that I can grow in holiness. Thank you, God. And so it's a thank you thing. It's not a, oh, poor me thing. You got it? So when it comes to that, how does he want you to fast this Lent? It could be giving up television. That's a great fast for some of you. It could, for a lot of you, I'd say my deacon if he was here, but he's not here, but he might listen to this, giving up Facebook for Lent. Oh, praise God. You know, to give up Facebook or give up social media, to give up one of these things and say, I'm not going to sit there and comment on every little thing that person says. Give it up. It's not bringing you closer to God. I promise you it's not. So give it up. It could be no in-between meals. Fasting, no in-between meals. Oh, it'll kill me, Father. Oh, please. It could be one meal a day. It could be fasting on bread and water on Fridays. It could be fasting on bread and water on Wednesdays and Fridays, the traditional. But again, if you do that, make sure you do it for somebody else. Make sure you do it for a son or daughter, husband or wife that doesn't know the Lord, that doesn't go to church. Do it for them. Make sure you do that. For some of you, it would be a great thing to give up smoking if you're still a smoker. Oh, Father, shut up. Do it. Because it's killing you. It's killing you, and it's hurting your family. And that money that you waste on cigarettes every day, give it to the poor. That goes into the next thing. Do something for somebody else instead of yourself. Fasting, you deprive yourself so you can help others. Second point. Third point goes to almsgiving. So let's say you do give up that coffee every day. That's how you're going to fast. You're not going to go to Starbucks, and that's at least $3, $4, $5 a day. You take that thing you gave up, and you take that exact amount of money, and you put it away for the poor. What? $5 a day? If that's what you're spending on coffee, yeah, $5 a day. Take it, give it up, and give it for somebody else. You know, again, I was with a bishop once, and he gave up, you know, for Lent. He says, oh, it was so hard because every morning I go to McDonald's, not our bishop. He's a bishop in another diocese way south. But anyway, and I gave up my Egg McMuffin for Lent. Oh, joy. Well, it'll be okay. I'd say, great, gave up that Egg McMuffin. But you take that money on the Egg McMuffin and give it to the poor. That would have made it an okay thing. So how are you going to take care of the poor? How are you going to do something else? You know, ask the Lord. Lord, how do you want me to do this? You tell me. And it could be taking money down to the city mission, or sending money to the one of the other places that take care of the poor. It could be you. Like I was just, we had a phenomenal men's conference yesterday. For those who were there, you know it was phenomenal. I loved it all. And especially Sean Forrest, the last speaker, who talked about how we need, how he sat there and gave up all these millions, all this money, all this stuff, and he now has an orphanage in Haiti. And how he's done all this stuff in this orphanage, and he was begging us for help. And so he has a website called Haiti 180. Haiti 180, that's easy, right? Haiti 180. And for $15 a month, you can sit there and help an orphan child. You know, easy. Maybe that's what he wants you to do. You know, maybe he just wants you to send a one-time thing to somebody. But again, how will we do these three things? Don't do the same old thing. It'll only bring you closer to yourself. Ask God what he wants you to do. Under those three things, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, write them down and pick one out of each category, not more than one, one, and do it. And if you do that, you're going to have a very fruitful Lent, very fruitful. It won't be a time you're just waiting to get through it. It'll be a time that you're growing. It'll be a time that'll bear fruit in love of others. And love of God. You got it? Get it? Gonna live it? May each of you know his love today and forever. Amen. Ooh.